This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. On the line right now, PJ Glasser is with us, our betting insider, host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. The Odyssey app would be a great place to do that. PJ, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Good to see you. I mean, it's finally here, right? This weekend that we've been waiting for. Yeah. College football playoff, and we got good NFL slate, especially on Saturday. Those two games are going to be really good, so I'm excited for this weekend.
I agree. I think it should be a good weekend as well. Let's start with tonight, though, and we'll start with the NFL on that. I'm pretty pumped for this game tonight from a football perspective. I think these are two really interesting teams, maybe both flying a little high. We'll see what shakes out. The over-under looks low to me. I know we see the Chargers kind of struggling. These teams both have good defenses, but I don't know. 41, it feels like they could get over that. What do you like in this one?
I like Denver. And, you know, guys, usually in betting, a rule of thumb is when you have a home team, if they're 2.5, you tend to go with the underdog. If they're at 3.5, you tend to go with the favorite. And this line was at 3. It dropped down to 2.5, which I think makes sense. You know, you look at the Chargers this season, and it's been pretty clear cut with them. If they play a good team with a winning record, they don't beat that team and they don't cover the spread. And then they feast on like the bad teams in the NFL, right? Which makes sense because Harbaugh is obviously a great coach. This is year one. They were transitioning from kind of Brandon Staley to Harbaugh, and he brought in some new coaches and the personnel kind of changed. And with Dobbins out, I mean, this offense just that's been their top guy. And without him, there really hasn't been a lot of explosiveness. So going up against that Denver defense, which is one of the best in the NFL, great secondary. We know the Chargers lack receiving weapons. I think it's going to be tough for them to move the ball in this game. So I like the Broncos here, +2.5. Keep in mind, too, Denver played a Thursday night game on the road earlier this season in New Orleans, right? So for a team with a young quarterback, that might be something that could hurt them. Short week going on the road, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. But Denver has already had that. So they kind of know what to expect heading into this game. I think they're the better team. Chargers have struggled to beat good teams all year with winning records, so I like the Broncos.
PJ, one of the lines that everybody's looking at around here, the Chiefs, and it's one of the most interesting ones that we've seen in a long time with the huge swing. I think we saw a 6-point swing with Mahomes news looking like he's going to play. Is Mahomes a 6-point player in your opinion?
I mean, he certainly is. Now, the question is, has this line gotten too far, right? Because when we saw that he was a full participant in practice, it went to 2.5 with the Chiefs. Then it got to 3. And now you're getting to the 3.5. And with these two teams and how good the defenses are, and Mahomes, even if he does play, not being 100%, we know Kansas City, the story with them, obviously, they've been winning games but not covering spreads. Now that we've gotten to the 3.5, I feel like this has been too much of an adjustment where I kind of like the Texans here in a lower scoring game. So I'm leaning Texans +3.5. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sure you talked about it on air, but I actually would have liked Kansas City more with the spread had Carson Wentz played and we got them as a home underdog. I think Kansas City in that role with all the talk about what an overrated 13-1 team they are and how unimpressive they've been. I think with Wentz in there, it would have been one of those games where like kind of everybody would have rallied around. And without Mahomes, I think guys would have enjoyed the opportunity to kind of prove themselves. With Mahomes back in the lineup, obviously he gives you a better chance to win. That's why they're the favorites now. But I'm more so like Houston against the spread against the Chiefs. Whereas if Wentz started, I kind of would have liked the Chiefs as home dogs in that game.
I would have liked him as money line in that game. And and so here's another interesting fact when we just get the news. Hollywood Brown's going to play. Now, he hasn't played all year, so how much they use him, I don't know. But it does point to this bigger narrative with the Chiefs that I think probably we are paying more attention to locally than is being paid attention to nationally, and that's that they're finally getting healthy. I don't know that people have realized how banged up the Chiefs have been this entire season. You know, they finally get Isaiah Pacheco back. Now they're getting Hollywood Brown. Their pass rush is finally, you know, sort of coming back and finding its groove. I think there's absolutely a chance, PJ, that we have not seen the best of the Chiefs yet this year, and that could be coming at a really opportune time for them. And I just wonder if we should pay attention to that, if there are opportunities here down the stretch with their bets.
Yeah, no doubt they're getting healthy. And, you know, as you guys know, it kind of feels like the Chiefs are going through the motions. They know how to win in the regular season, and they're just doing just enough to get by and win these games. But, like, I've seen this movie before. I'm sure you guys have, too. And the team that we're seeing now is not the team that we're going to see in the playoffs. So not only are they getting healthy, but I think they're holding back a little bit, too. I mean, this is a team that's won two straight Super Bowls, right? They've been in deep runs. They got a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. They've been through a lot of battles. So they can't go all out in the regular season in every game like maybe some of these other teams can. So the Chiefs kind of know what they're doing. They're playing it, you know, kind of just they're winning each game as they can and not trying to blow teams out. So that's why when you're getting the 3.5 with Houston, I like them in that game. As for Hollywood, it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. You know, him and Xavier Worthy, their skill sets are so similar. So what that distribution looks like, who they decide to run jet sweeps with, who they run screens with, who's kind of the deep ball guy for Mahomes now, I think that's going to be interesting. There's no props up right now on BetMGM for Hollywood, but when that number drops, I'm interested to see what his receiving totals look like.
PJ, while we're talking about the playoffs, one thing that I found interesting, I was just looking at Super Bowl props this morning since we were talking about the Chiefs getting healthier. The Eagles are the number two team is what I'm looking at here. It's Bills, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs. There's been some shifting in there. You know, how big have these past couple of weeks been for, you know, the books to make these predictions?
Oh, they've been huge, especially when you couple it with the Lions injuries and then obviously the Bills beating the Lions, right? And a lot of people thinking that that might be the Super Bowl. So yeah, TJ, I mean, the Bills and the Lions right now are co-favorites to play in the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, I don't think either of those teams are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. I still like Kansas City in the AFC. And then the Eagles, who you brought up, and I wouldn't sleep on the Packers either. You know, LaFleur is a really good coach. We saw what they were able to do in the playoffs last year. They went into Dallas, destroyed them, and then they had the San Francisco on the ropes as well. So I think the Packers are going to be a tough out. Let's remember, too, guys, like as great as Detroit has been this season, Minnesota has the same record as them. These two teams still play. And if Minnesota gets the number one seed, I mean, that's going to be a game changer. Detroit is going to have to play wild card weekend. They're going to have to go on the road and all these different things. So I still like Kansas City. Quite frankly, guys, I just hope that the Bills continue to look impressive and the odds on the Chiefs just continue to diminish. Because as far as I'm concerned, they can look as bad as they want in the regular season. To me, it's not going to influence how I feel about them in the playoffs.
You went through that, and I want to get your favorite NFL bets, but you went through and boy, why isn't anybody giving the Vikings love? They could have home field here in this thing. If Detroit is vulnerable, Minnesota can throw the ball. They can run the ball. They got a great pass rush. What is it about the Vikings that we're all sort of collectively sleeping on? Because I think they have all the is it a Sam Darnold thing and that's it?
That's it. That's it. It's Darnold. It's Darnold. You know, I mean, just the era that we live in now, I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with a guy like Darnold as your quarterback. As great as he's playing, I don't know if you could win it.
But can you with Jordan Love? You know, Sam Darnold's played better than Jalen Hurts this year. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I agree with you, by the way. If you look for, like, I've done this before. If you go back 30 years, you bet you have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback with, like, three exceptions. Like, they got to be that good to win a Super Bowl. But the NFC doesn't have one of those right now.
So I think if you're not talking about like a top four, top five quarterback in the NFL, I think your ceiling is to make it to the Super Bowl. But I don't know if you can win it, right? You talk about Jalen Hurts. We saw the Eagles get to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. We saw Brock Purdy and the Niners last year get to a Super Bowl, and he didn't win it. We saw Jared Goff with the Rams get to a Super Bowl and not win it. So I think the Vikings' absolute ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. If they did that, I don't think it would be shocked. But then when you play a neutral site game against another really good team, and especially if that team is Kansas City or Buffalo and Baltimore, and you're going up against a Hall of Fame, top three, top four quarterback, I think it's going to be tough. So it is Darnold at the end of the day. And O'Connell's awesome, and Flores is great too. Jefferson's one of the best receivers. Their defense is playing great. But to me, it is Darnold. I just don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him.
PJ, you talked about how awesome this weekend's going to be on the football slate. That includes college football playoff, and we get it a day early on Friday there. 7 o'clock is the Hoosiers at Notre Dame in-state battle. Everybody's counted out Indiana all year. Still only one loss on that resume. 7.5-point dogs, it looks like, at Notre Dame.
Guys, this is going to be a fun game. It really is. I think Notre Dame wins, but would not be shocked in the slightest if Indiana pulls off the upset. I'm betting them plus the points, plus the 7.5. You're starting to see this line going back and forth between 7 and 7.5. As soon as it goes down to 7, people are betting Notre Dame. When you're getting the 7.5, people are getting that hook with Indiana. And I really think it is one of those games where the hook is going to be important, because I think it's going to be one score. Something interesting to watch. And you see this all the time in March Madness too, especially with like a Gonzaga, teams that are used to just blowing out everybody in their conference. When they get into a playoff setting and these games are tight with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's why you see the Zags lose a bunch in March. Indiana, Notre Dame this year, you guys have not played a lot of close games. Indiana's played one game all year that's been decided by one score. Notre Dame's played two games all year that have been decided by one score. So in a game with teams that have really good defenses, teams that are good at running the football, and a game that's probably going to come down to the wire, I think you've got to favor the underdog in that situation, because all the pressure is going to be on Notre Dame. The longer that this game stays close when the Irish are at home and all the pressure is on them, I think that's an advantage for Indiana. So I think Notre Dame's going to squeak out a close one at the end, but this game will, I think, go right down to the wire. So I like the Hoosiers plus the points.
So everybody's getting a lot of points in these first round games. All the dogs are more than touchdown dogs. Which of these, if any, do you think have a chance? Maybe it's Indiana to outright win. Like, which one is the money line bet if you're looking to get some juicy odds there?
For me, it's SMU. I think that's the play. SMU on the money line. They match up well with Penn State because they can stop the run and they can pressure the quarterback. And if you want to give Penn State and Drew Aller issues, that's what you do. You stop Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and you pressure Drew Aller. That's what SMU is going to be able to do. Also, guys, like a lot of time, and we've already seen it in this college football playoff era when it was with four teams, a lot of time when that last team gets into the field and it's like kind of a controversial team, those teams end up playing pretty well, right? Like those teams that just get in and then they go on a little bit of a run. And I've been talking about it on my show. To me, James Franklin feels like he's treading the kind of water that John Calipari was at Kentucky, where fans were kind of getting fed up. He had all these good teams, but he really couldn't win big games anymore. And Oakland was the last straw when Kentucky lost last year. Penn State's path is really favorable. They're big favorites against SMU. They're going to be big favorites against Boise. They'll have a chance to beat Georgia or Notre Dame. They could match up well with either of those teams. Feels like Franklin, this game, if he loses it, he's going to be on the hot seat big time. So there are a lot of people out there that don't think SMU is very good. You know, they just kind of got in because they were fortunate to come back against Clemson and they only had one loss. But their defense is solid. Their offense has some good playmakers. And not only do I think they can hang with Penn State, I think they can win the game.
One of my favorite parts of the new college football playoff is that these, you know, 5 through 8 get the home games, and we get the matchup of SMU going to Pennsylvania. You get Tennessee going to Ohio State, and it's going to be like a 12-degree wind chill or something like that. You know, how much is that going to factor? Is there anything of, you know, SEC teams, a team from Texas playing in this cold that's altering your mind at all?
definitely in the Tennessee-Ohio State game, I think it makes a big difference. SMU-Penn State, not as much, even though you got a team from Texas, like you said, going up to Happy Valley. I think the fact that it's during the day is a big deal, right? This is going to be at 12 p.m. Eastern time, so the sun should be out. It's not looking like they're going to get any snow. It's just going to be cold. So I think that will help SMU, whereas Tennessee is going to be playing a night game, and I think that makes a big difference. It's supposed to be 16 degrees at kickoff. Nico, their quarterback's from California. He is not used to that. And both teams are, SMU and Tennessee, they are built to play in cold weather because they can stop the run, they have good defenses, and they can run the football. Problem is with Tennessee, they just, when they've gone up against good teams this year, they have not been able to score a lot of points. You think about what they've done in road games too, at Arkansas, at Georgia, at Oklahoma. Their offenses have struggled to really put up a lot of yards and score a lot of points. I think they're going to struggle against Ohio State's defense too, which has been the number one scoring defense in college football this season. So it is a factor. I'm interested to see how it plays out, TJ, but I think it's more of a factor with Tennessee than it is with SMU.
All right, PJ, before we let you go, anything we've missed, pro, college, whatever it is, some of your favorite bets that we need to be on?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a favorite bet of mine in college and NFL. Texas-Clemson, we didn't talk about that game, but my favorite bet of the weekend is going to be Clemson's team total under at 20.5 points. I just think that's way too much. Say what you want about Texas's offense, and I think it's all totally fair. Quinn Ewers is really the one thing that when you look at Texas's team, kind of makes you concerned about them maybe winning the national championship. But that defense is ridiculous. I mean, they're number two in scoring. They're number one against the pass. They're top 15 against the rush. And Clemson this year, the two SEC teams they've played, 3 points against Georgia, 14 points at home against South Carolina. Now they're going on the road playing a true road game, and that total is 20.5. I think it's too many. So I like the team total under there. And then the other Saturday game, Ravens and Steelers, I'm taking Pittsburgh plus the points. These games are always close, and they're always decided by 3 points, and they're always low scoring. And I can just tell you guys how the game's going to go. The Ravens are the better team. They're going to outplay them. They're on it, going to outgain them, but they're going to drop passes. They're going to turn the ball over. They're going to commit dumb penalties. And then you look up in the fourth quarter and the Steelers will have a chance to win the game. So I just think 6.5 is too many points. I like Pittsburgh on Saturday.
And TJ, if you didn't know, PJ's a big Ravens fan. So if you're wondering where that deep frustration is rooted, that's where that comes from. PJ, enjoy it. We will not have a show next week, so we will be a week off with you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, enjoy the bets. Let's all make a little extra money, get a few extra Christmas presents this weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. Happy holidays, guys. Enjoy the games. I'll talk to you in 2025. Look forward to it.
There goes PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Always good stuff there. Lot to digest with the betting this weekend. And starts tonight. I told myself, like, I can't let it go. I got to find a wacky same game parlay here tonight. TJ, you just can't let that slide, because that might be the one, you know, that might have been the one.
It could be. I'm just thinking about this Indiana SMU parlay. I think we can get like plus 1200 or something stupid juicy on that. So yeah, I like that a lot, and I like Tennessee a lot. I'm going to take a bunch of underdogs this weekend.
I got to tell you, I think Notre Dame's about to clean Indiana's clock. They haven't played anybody. They've played one quality game and they got crushed. I don't think Notre Dame's actually that good, but you know, we'll see. I'm so excited we have college football playoff. I don't even care. Honestly, I don't even care. I'm just so excited we finally have what we should have had since the beginning of time. And I just want people to go nuts for it and realize how stupid it was that we've determined college football champions the way that we have for so long. But we appreciate PJ. If you missed anything there, if you want his takes on the Chiefs or anything else that you might have come into late, you can go right there on the Odyssey app, download the show, and listen in that way. Coming up in hour number two, we'll start things off with Tim Fitzgerald. Got to get Fitz's Got to get Fitz's take on Jerome Tang's post-game comments. I'm real curious to see that. It's hard, TJ, and I know you and I haven't talked about it, but we will here with Fitz. Like, it's so hard because so much of that post-game was great, right? It's all the things you like to hear from Tang, the reason we all like Tang. But to go down that road, to me, seems like such a distraction because that's all we think about, right? It drives me crazy when coaches lecture fans. I just don't like it. Never have. It's always rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you know, those fans are the reason that we can all do this for a living. In their cases, they make lots of money because of those fans. Like, I just, it always rubs me the wrong way to lecture fans. And so I'm curious to see what Fitz is saying, what the tone is up in Manhattan. Because there is real heat, TJ, on that program right now.
I just saw a video on X of their Power Cat podcast they just did. And if you haven't seen it, Fitz went nuts for about 2 minutes.
Okay,
so
well,
this is going to be great.
We'll have that. He probably agrees with us then, or at least me, on how silly that all was. But we'll do that next. Tim Fitzgerald, K-State Insider, joins the program next on Sports Daily.